We are continuing to talk about the life and ministry of Jesus, some very general things with some very specific points, and we have talked about his baptism and his temptation, his calling and sending out of the disciples. Last week we talked about his teaching in the book of Matthew, but not just his teaching, but the importance that he placed on his teaching. It ended up with the story about the wise man and the foolish man. And Jesus said, if you hear these words of my teaching and follow them, you're like the wise man. If you hear these words and you apply them to your life, if you hear the things I say to do and you do them, but if you hear them and you don't, you're like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the parables of Jesus, but not any specific parables, but just the idea of parables in general and his teaching again in general and his great love of children. Now, Jesus used parables to explain things in order to get people to look at something through some common thing, through something they could easily understand in the world, to understand some spiritual principle, to get a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven or to understand how the love of God works, to understand the importance of reaching the lost. And there's different ways to look at this, but there's kind of basically four kinds of parables. There's a similitude, which is saying the kingdom of heaven is like something else. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And then there's a story like the Good Samaritan, an extended metaphor, which is like the story of the great banquet found in Luke 14. Then there's an allegory, which is kind of a story like the parable of the banquet. But all these Jesus used in order to explain things that were maybe difficult to understand if he had kept in just spiritual terms. So he explained them in ways they could understand, because Jesus didn't come just to talk. He came to tell people things to change their lives. So he wanted them to understand what he was trying to teach them. It was vital that they understand. And so Jesus told them. I'm reading now from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. If you'd like to turn there, I'm going to start right at the beginning. And this time Jesus is going to use a real life example, an object lesson. There are some concerns among the disciples about who of them is the most important. And Jesus is going to address that. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children. And different translations, and I think these are all worthwhile to listen to, some say, unless you turn and become like little children. And another says, unless you convert. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to his followers. Unless you change, unless you turn, unless you convert and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And turning over to chapter 19, verse 13. Then the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands upon them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. And to get somewhat of an idea, the book of Luke uses the term babies here, and the word that's used means very small children, ones who would still be nursing. So these little children were brought to Jesus. And there's some interesting stuff in that a child not yet being of the age to believe, especially a child that small, it is the only example of Jesus blessing someone who had not already professed who he was. And a side note, I think this Jesus was for then and for all time blessing children who had not yet reached an age of understanding. We were all born in sin, but Jesus is addressing that issue of little children. He said they are blessed and they will enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus says you must humble yourself and be like one of these in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus goes on to teach all around these, before and after, teaches many times using those parables. And there's parables that express what the kingdom of heaven is like. There's parables that talk about the importance of reaching out for the lost. Jesus says, you know, if you have 10 coins and you lose one, you don't just say, well, 9's enough. You're going to do everything you can. You're going to look in every corner, everywhere you can to find the other one. And if you have a group of sheep and one is lost, you're going to go and find that other sheep. He talks about the importance of reaching after the lost. It's important to God. It was important to Jesus. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it should be important to us. And so Jesus compares these things so that they can understand them, because they were of a mindset that to get to heaven had to do with what you did. See, they were stuck in that mindset that what you did was most important. This is what the Pharisees taught. You know, by your great acts, by the things you do, by your following the minute details of the law down to the very jot and tittle, the very smallest thing. The more you did it, the better chance you had of reaching God. And I think today, there's some of that still in the church today, that we have gotten to the point where we think it's about what we do, even though we talk about the grace of God, that we get concerned about, you know, if I've done enough, maybe I'll get there. You know, I hope if I've done the right things, maybe I'll get there. And Jesus is trying to turn that around. But I think today we are also, we have an issue with belief, because while they were stuck in relying on the things that they had done, we get stuck believing in the efforts of things that have already been done. We are so kind of puffed up with the accomplishments of the world that we even, you know, kind of put down the actuality, the reality, the truth of Scripture. It might be a nice book, it might tell some nice stories, but for us to believe the reality of Scripture, it doesn't seem right. Kids are taught in school often. Scriptures aren't right. It's taught in colleges. It's taught in seminaries. Sadly, many, that this isn't right. And Jesus says, you got to become like a little child and believe what I'm telling you. And I was going to try to describe what he meant by becoming as a child. And I was I was listening to John MacArthur yesterday, and he was doing a sermon kind of around this same area, and he, I think, describes this better than I would have. And so I'm going to read what John MacArthur says about the humility of a child. He says, the humility of a child, what do we mean by that? Now, when I say these things about children, please don't be offended. I'm sure he loves children very much. These are not insulting terms. These are just talking about the state of being a child and of not knowing, of not learning, have not experienced or accomplishing anything. He says, children are humble. What do we mean we say they're humble? Well, they have no achievements, no accomplishments. They have no personal means to achieve or accomplish. We're talking about infants here, little ones. They have no ability to chart their own course. They have no wisdom to face the world. They have no ability to protect themselves or to provide for themselves. Their thoughts are simple. They're vulnerable. They are in desperate need of care, and that's exactly how it is for those who enter the kingdom. We recognize that we have no achievement, no merit, no accomplishment. We are weak, ignorant, dependent, immature, simple-minded, and vulnerable. We can't defend ourselves. We can't achieve anything by some accomplishment. We have no ability for those kind of things. We have no credentials. We have nothing to offer. A baby has no accomplishments. They've accomplished nothing. And that's what you have to be like if you want to enter the kingdom. We talk about having a childlike faith, and that is important, but I'm not sure we often dig down into the meat of what that means. And this is what it means. Of our own, we have nothing that can help us enter the kingdom of God. Completely and utterly without resources, except for Jesus Christ. And it is so vital that we remember that. And yet the world so gets in the way. And Jesus was dealing there with a group of people who had been taught for generations that it was their actions, it was their activities, it was the things they did that would earn them a place. And Jesus said, no, you have to be like one of these little ones who's not accomplished anything yet. I'm doing this. Actually, he was this. One of these little ones. One of these ones so small they haven't been out in the world to accomplish anything. And I think he says to us that same thing. Plus, it's not about what you think you know. You have to clear your mind and let the truth fill it. I used to teach aircraft maintenance for E3 Airborne Warning and Control System aircraft called AWACS. And I knew what I was talking about. I don't mean to sound cocky, but I knew the things that I was teaching. Anyone that's ever been a teacher, you go up front, you know what you're teaching. And you present it for someone to learn. And the classes were very interesting because I would get young individuals, young men and women who had just come out of basic training and gone through their technical school, and then they came to learn about this specific airplane. And I taught about the instruments and the autopilot and the navigation systems. And they believed what I told them. And it was true. What I told them was true, and they believed it. In those same classes, I often had people who had been in for 5, 10, 15 years who had worked a different kind of airplane. And systems on the big C-5 you see out here, and the C-17 that flies along with it, the systems that do the same thing operate completely different. Completely differently. Their functionality and how they get that thing done is different from one airplane to another. And it was so difficult sometimes when someone had a lot of experience in one avenue to teach them. You had to unteach them things they already knew in order for them to understand and believe the things that I was teaching. And I used to use a simple little thing sometime with the younger guys just to kind of get them to buy in and ask them, what is lift? What makes an airplane fly? And they would think, well, it's that air pushing under the wings. And I would take a little piece of paper like this and blow across the top. It's not what's going under the wings. It's making the air over top of the wing go faster than the air under the wing, and that causes what's known as lift. And that one little example would sometimes get them to buy in that maybe the old guy up front knew something. Okay, now this metaphor will eventually fall apart because those guys that had experience, what they knew was true in one part of the world or on one kind of airplane, but it wasn't true here. And they had to get that stuff out of their mind or they were constantly confused by the information they were receiving. I had a student from NATO. He was from Greece, and he'd worked fighters his whole career. And nothing is the same on one of those little fighters as is on a big airplane. And he just would, he couldn't believe some of the things he was hearing. You know, an F-16 can go like this. It can fly straight up. And so there's systems in there that if the pilot blacks out and stops inputting, that the airplane will take over and level itself. Well, one of these big airplanes, they don't fly like that. The systems work completely differently. And so I had to get that out of his head. He could not begin to understand the truth until he got what was untrue out of his mind. And it was untrue in the world we were living in. Jesus did not say, I am a way and a truth and a life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we hear things that are contrary to that, and the world has just over and over again through our lives, you know, we hear so much stuff that even sometimes those of us who believe doubt so much of what is in here. But just like that guy that worked those fighters, you know, we got to clear that stuff out so that the truth can come in. We have to clear it out. Jesus is saying, become like a child. You ever held a child on your lap and taught them something they wanted to know? And they just listened with complete wonder and appreciation. And then maybe a new ability to do something. This is what Jesus is saying. You don't have it on your own. Let it all go. And I will teach you. I will teach you what you need to know. But we must become like a child. Ego has to go. Intellect has to go. Now, don't get me wrong. God did not tell us to not use our minds. It's just that the things that have polluted our minds must be cleared out. God, you're not required to check your brain at the door to come into church. You're not required to stop thinking when you start reading. Matter of fact, you need to start thinking when you start reading. But you must accept that some firmly established truth may not be so firmly established. But there is truth. There is truth. And Jesus said simply, you must be like one of these. He told us to train up a child in the way they should go. Would he do any less? He tells us that a father, when a child's hungry, will feed them. Right? Won't give them anything bad. We'll just give them the good. Will he do any less for us? This has nothing to do with our earthly age. This has to do with our willingness to love the Lord our God with our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. Amen.